Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Guys, our book comes out on the 4th of November. Remember, the 4th of November. And that's our official launch party that's happening at 21 Soho in London. And then from there, we're going around the country.
It turns out if we leave, like, London, we don't explode and dissolve into dust. Cambridge, Brighton, Manchester, Bristol, Leeds. If you live in any of those or near any of those, holy cow, go to plosive.co.uk. And you will see what dates all of those things are, and you can get tickets to come and see us. And we're going to be doing a live podcast episode just for you.
You can also go to seetickets.com if that floats your boat.
If you like seeing tickets.
If you like to see the tickets. You can also pre-order our book, or it'll be available to buy on the day. And we would love to see you. Please come along.
Genuinely, please come along.
Oh, we'd love to see you.
We'd love to see you. Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic. I'm Stevie. Tessa is also here, but Hello. We have a special guest who's going to save our lives and our bank balances. It's Bola Sol. How are you doing, Bola?
I'm fine, thank you. Happy to be here. How are you?
You know what? Well, fine. But
fine. Absolutely
financially
fine.
Ruined. Absolutely ruined.
Right, let's fix that.
Right off the top of this episode, Bola's got a book out earlier this year called How to Save It, Fix Your Finances. First off, the foreword is by Moneybox, which is an app I downloaded last year and it's been incredibly helpful. So already, off to a flying start. If you listen to this episode and you're like, yes, I want more of this, Or if you're like, this is nowhere near enough help. Or if it was enough help, buy the book. Either way. Also follow Bola on Twitter. Should we kick off with the adult things?
Yeah, this episode, I'm just saying this episode is going to be called is How to Save Money. Or yes. how to get it all in shape. Get those, because I think everybody listening is thinking, yes, hello. I'm not good at maths. I'm not good at numbers. The money just disappears like Monopoly money. Yes, please. I would like to know. And also every time anybody brings up any sort of big words like ISA, your nose starts to bleed. So that's where we're coming at and where I suspect a lot of people listening are. Coming from.
Anything over the word bank, I'm like, okay, I don't know what a bank is, but I don't understand anything that
I've
is in it.
Recently started watching Ozark, and I'm loving it, and no spoilers, but I'm only three episodes in. I cannot comprehend what it is he is trying to do there. the concept of the, and I know he keeps explaining it to the child in the hope of the audience understanding, but I'm like, right, but what are we doing? How is it working? So just that's where my maths and
I'm sure, Bola, you'll have
at.
A lot of advice on money laundering.
that's what I'd like to know about, please. Yes, please.
If I did, I think this would be a completely different podcast.
Yeah, so sorry. I derailed you on your adult thing. I'd love to know what your adult thing of the week is.
Oh, it's organizing like life insurance and health insurance.
That's so massive.
That's so incredibly adult. I don't even...
You organised life insurance.
Life insurance, something that you pay an insure, a monthly insurance.
I think you can pay monthly or annually, but you have to do like a health and lifestyle questionnaire first.
Right.
So they just basically know about any pre-existing medical conditions that you have. So in the event certain things happen, not necessarily just death, but in the event something like, this is so adulty, like someone was to get cancer, for example, and stuff like that, then they would make out a particular claim for you. So if you couldn't work, anyone who has kids, for example, I know some people like my sister, she's a doctor, she's got critical illness cover. So in the event she can't work, she can make sure that, you know, her house is still taken care of, her family's still taken care of.
That's smart, because I think up until this conversation, I just thought if you became critically ill, that was it. You couldn't read that. There's no way. You'd just have to, your life would have to crumble. And so the idea that there is actually something out there that would stop that makes sense. And it's terrifying that I didn't know about it.
A last thing actually to say about life insurance, which is why it's good for people to have it. If you have a mortgage and you get a particular type of life insurance that's tied into your mortgage, in the event that someone is to pass, I don't like to put it on people, that someone is to pass, you can get it that your mortgage is paid off.
What?
Yeah. Important to know these things.
Do you think that people, I mean, the answer is yes, that people don't do this sort of thing because even thinking about the idea of it is just too overwhelming.
Oh yeah. You can tell yourself, you're like, you know, I'm young, I'm a spring chicken, I go to Pilates 3 times a week. You're thinking, me? Pff, never.
Yeah.
but it's just, life happens and one day you're just blowing out more candles than you expected. So.
Oh my God.
But so important to speak positivity, and like I talk about that in my book as well, like mindset, like money mindset and the things you tell yourself about money.
Yes, because I suppose it sends cues to your brain and then helps you to act more confidently and responsibly and all of that. Yeah, we did an episode a few months ago called like How to Manifest, and we're like, oh, lame. And then by the end of it, we're like, yeah, it's absolutely psychologically incredibly helpful. And once you know what you want to attract, you can start attracting it, and it's not some sort of magical airy fairy, you know, nothing.
I've got questions about the positivity, as somebody who has a deeply negativity mindset about this sort of thing. Tell me what you recommend about this sort of positivity thinking.
If there was one sentence I could leave you with, I know we're just starting the podcast.
Mic drop. Follow you. You have to stay a bit longer.
Mic drop. No, but if there's one thing you could remember, it's to say, I'm getting better with my finances. Because so often we can make a mistake, we can make an error, and then it just feels like, oh my gosh, back to square one. But it's not, it just feels like that in the moment. But don't let those moments encapsulate you. Like maybe if you have an emergency fund or savings and you have to dip back into it, sometimes you just have to take a deep breath and say, I'm getting better with my finances. You know, setbacks aren't the end of the world.
Oh my God. I grew about 4 inches just listening to that. I am getting better with my finances.
Yes, because Tessa, you is very much like when someone says to her, like, oh, so what's your, I think we did an advert or something a while back, and it was like, we had to talk about how we approach money. And it's like, you know, so I answered the question, and then Tessa was like, oh, I keep all my money in the box under my bed. It's like, well, you don't.
I do actually, but, though,
there's a bit of it, but like you are better than you present to yourself. Let's start though by, so I know you, I read a few things that you've written, Bolla, and you talked a lot about how important it is to talk about money. And I thought that was a good place to start, because it's some, like, then we can move to like practical tips and stuff later, because that's so personal. Like, for example, I'm absolutely fine talking about certain aspects of money. Tessa, you feel stressed when I ask you how much things were that you've bought. whereas I'm like, oh, it's fine. But then there are other things that I can't talk, like I don't like talking about if I've done a job and I've earned a lot of money or a good amount of money. I feel embarrassed saying, and I know that it's very different for everybody. Why is it important that we should talk about money? And what are the best ways to kind of ease yourself in if you're really like nervous about it?
It's important to talk about money because, without sounding crude, you have no idea how much you could potentially be making until you discuss it. And it's something I do on purpose with friends who are also within the financial influencer space. I do it in terms of my day job and salary. And it's also important for things like, so for example, to know about maybe how much someone is paying for energy, which has been a big topic lately. It's everything down to your mobile phone bill. The whole point that it's important to talk about money is so that we can learn to be more efficient in that area and know what works for us. And if we're not having those conversations, then we aren't really helping each other as a human race to get better. All we're doing is buying into Jeff Bezos, who's flying to space with all our COVID Amazon money. So it's like we should grow together, and that's why it's important to talk about money. And I think anyone who's nervous to talk about it should start where they feel comfortable. So it could be like with the little things, like, oh, where do you shop? I shop in Tesco. Oh, I shop in Aldi. And you should be like, oh, you should do a price comparison week on week, and just start really small in those areas and then build up and then start to ask more questions. One thing I say to my friends is it okay if I have a conversation with you about finances and just go from there?
Where do you think it comes from? That we don't want to discuss it. The idea that we don't know. It would be unlikely that you knew what all your friends' salary was, for example.
I think it's a British culture thing naturally to not talk about money, and it always protects the employer for us not to discuss it. You know, it's only HR who usually know about that. So it's all very hush hush. Some people don't like to talk about it, maybe because they have more than others, and it can build envy and resentment. But I think it's up to the individual what they do with that information, as long as it doesn't brew into, oh, they're making more money than me and I don't like them. I say never look at the person, look at the situation and ask, how can I get more out of it? So I do a job right now that my friend does, and I think he earns 5 times more than me. I kid you not. Oh, 5 times more than me in a month.
You said he as well, which is
I know. But and instead of me making that situation about him, I make it about how I can get to that place financially, and that's the great thing about talking about money.
Yes, I can see that. You can use it for good for yourself.
Situation. Yeah,
it's very hard. I remember, I think I've spoken about it before on the podcast, but when I first got a salaried job as a journalist, and I didn't know you weren't supposed to talk about that stuff, but I sort of didn't because no one else was. But then we were all at this Christmas party, and then someone just was like, how much do you, and then they all found out how much I earned, and they were all like, what? I think I was on 15,000 or something. They were just like, what? And then we all started talking about it, and it ended up with, one of them's crying in the loo because the girl is 5 years younger, they're earning 5 times more. And it was the company was the problem, but they didn't have enough money to kind of keep going. And then people started to leave and find better jobs where they'd be paid for their worth. There was this whole thing about how it was illegal to talk to your colleagues about how much they earned, but it's not. The company just makes you feel like it is. And it's illegal to talk about that. And I was I felt oh God, I'm really sorry that I've started this conversation, but actually turned out to be very helpful for all of the individuals involved, just not the company who were screwing us all over. And also the other side of talking about money is when you're struggling for money. And I think that is, again, a different, it's very British not to, but also within Britain, there are a lot of different cultures who talk about money in different ways. But so obviously I'm only coming at it from the sort of working class white perspective, but absolutely fine to say that you've got no money, because that's essentially my base level the whole, up until maybe a year ago, I was but I know that that's also really difficult for lots of people to admit when they've got money problems, and also to admit to themselves. It's that thing where you don't want to go to the cash point and look, because so then you just sort of stick your head in the sand. And then there's an obvious reason why you need to be talking almost to yourself about money, because you can kind of push it away. Starting to talk about it in a way, in easy, simple, comfortable ways. And then if you are struggling with money, what's your first thing that you should do, Bola?
I would say have a talk with someone who you know cares about you, a family or a family member or a friend, and then maybe they can give suggestions of where you can go from there as well. If that's not your first port of call and you don't want to do that, just have a cheeky Google, even if it's on a on an incognito setting of your situation, and see. But it's always better to have a conversation, because you don't know the options that are available out there. Two people actually messaged me this morning about a situation they're going through, and to one of them I said, call the companies and tell them your situation, because some people don't even know that it's an option to say, I'm struggling right now. This is what I can afford to pay. And, you know, some companies will say, okay, we understand. Maybe you can pay the rest at a later date. But until we have those conversations, even with someone we trust, then we're always going to feel like we're struggling. But once you open up that conversation, you know, it can be such a release, and you know where to go in terms of next steps.
Yes. And what in your experience are the biggest mistakes people make with money? Very broad thing to say, but ask.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Getting into debt and convincing themselves that that debt is worth it.
Right.
So in all honesty, it's lifestyle creep. And it happens to so many people. It's like you want to go out with your friends, you want to go out with your family, whoever it is. And before you know it, you tell yourself, yeah, I don't know, I'm building up my credit and I'm using my credit card. But then it comes to a point where maybe it's too expensive, or yeah, I'm going to get out a loan to do that. But you don't have an idea of how you're paying it back. So I think debt as a result of lifestyle creep is something that comes up time and time again. Mm-hmm. And there's just times where we just have to kind of sit at home and rein in our spending to get back to, should I say, zero.
It's an instinct, isn't it, of being like, well, everyone else is doing it, and I deserve to have nice things and go out with people, and I'll, you know, and I've got this overdraft or whatever, I've got this thing, I'll do it, and it's fine, and this is fine, as, and it's a real sort of head in the sand thing.
What I hate about it as well is that, because I know that maybe you can tell me that I'm wrong, actually, because I don't know if this is right, but I've read and heard that it's really important to have a credit card for your credit score. Whereas when I was growing up, my parents were like, you know, never get a credit card. And like, they're really like, because obviously, you know, that happens, and you then opened yourself up almost needlessly to the lifestyle creep, as you put it, which is also a great phrase, because that's literally how it feels. But then, yeah, so terrible that then, if that is the case, if that is true, that it's helpful to have a credit card, if you can pay it off for your credit score, then what a horrible bind they've got people in, because they're literally trying to get people into debt.
It just goes to show the importance of self-discipline. That's the thing that no one teaches you, like financial discipline. It's the same with, I don't know, going to the gym. It's just like, can I commit to X amount of times a week or a month? You have to do the same with your finances.
But the wording, the way, the process, everything, feel, it's like it's completely closed thing that I can't access, and I don't understand any of the words, and it makes me go hot and shaky, and you're like, what does that mean? And I think the language, yeah, just it keeps people out from understanding it on purpose, so that you do make a mistake and then you are fined and then they get some extra money. That's really how I feel about it. Probably too cynical.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On that sort of note of like not feeling like you understand stuff, like what would your top line starter tips for people that really want to start saving, but just have absolutely like no idea, terrified of spreadsheets, don't understand it?
How to save it.
I would say look into the best interest rate available. I could quote some now, but it's important to just Google what the latest one is. And if you're interested in property and you don't own a property yet, then of course you can look into getting the lifetime ISA.
I've got one of those.
Whoop whoop. If you're between 18 to 40, you can get one.
First question. No, I've got two. One is the best interest rate. It does feel like the banks at the moment are offering interest rate of like 0.3% and it's capped.
It's that.
Yeah, so it feels like you're like, okay, I'm ready. Here I go. I've got my little pot of, I've got my little nest egg. Where should I put it? And then you look around and you're like, oh, wait, at best, I can make 20 pence in interest in this bank for over a year. So that does feel like, is there a better place than the banks to put your money if you'd like to start saving?
There are a few apps. So some of these like new school fintech apps can offer certain percentages. So for example, I know like, Chip were offering 1.25% at one point. I know Marcus, run by Goldman Sachs, is currently offering 0.5%. There's all these various ones. So I think, you know, don't be afraid to move your money around just so that you're getting that little bit more.
So like I had Chip and I also have a savings account and it was like, cool. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how much to put in. I don't know. Like, because also as well, when you're self-employed as I am, I'll have, there are people, of course, who have salaries. So then you can look and you can calculate your outgoings and then kind of, you know, detract that and go, okay, well, I can manage this amount a month. So I'll do that. But if you're somebody like, for example, me, who will get like a big lump sum and then nothing for 7 years and then like £2, like, and I never know when anything is coming in ever. Mm. It's quite hard to figure out how much to put in. And I'm not going to make this question. Can you please tell me how much I should put in my account? But what I mean is like, are there apps or are there any ways that you can kind of, that can help you to work out just how much to save?
There's a rule of thumb. It's a 50-30-20 rule. So 50% on your needs, 30% on your wants, and 20% on your savings. So that could be savings, could be a split of like savings and investments. So mm-hmm. you could just put away money. And I think what's important is that you label what that money is for. So is it an emergency fund that you're trying to build, which is should be a minimum of 3 to 6 months of expenses? Or is it for your long-term goals, like a house, for example, or, I don't know, a car or a big holiday?
Wow. So when you see three to 6 months of expenses, we're talking like maybe 3 to 6 months of rent as an emergency fund, in the sense of if something terrible happens and like you can't, and rent and bills, right. And so then you know that you are going to be safe for a certain amount of time. That gives you breathing room to, you know, work things out. I see. That's a really great idea.
Emergency fund
is... Oh, God, I've got about 0.2 of my rent saved.
You've got three days.
Yeah. And then I'm running.
So that is a thing, isn't it, about like being financially free, about like how long can you last from this point if you just down tools and didn't work and there was no more money coming in from today? How long would it be before you hit zero? And it's like... So building up that emergency fund to be like, I could last 6 months from this point. This is how much money is in this account. And that's not just an ambiguous number. That's like, this is six times my rent. This is six times the bills. Mm. This is six times this. This is food. This is everything. I know exactly how much that number is for me personally, rather than just like, I don't know, a million or something. And then you're like, of course, you're never going to hit it. If you're just like, oh, you're like £1,000. Like, you've got to be clear about like, how much is your rent? How much needs to be in there? And then to be like, you need six times that in there. Ooh, okay. It feels hot, but good. So needs, wants, savings. Okay.
NWS, okay. 50, 30, 20.
And it can be stressful if you're listening to this and are at a stage where, which I have been for most of my life, where it's like, I was for a long time earning the exact amount of money that was my expenses. And maybe like £10. And then it'd be like eating rice. And then you listen, being like, yeah, cool. would love to say, but literally can't. It's, I suppose, it's about like, it's an aim, you know, and like, it's always good to have an aim. And that's another thing to look at, how you can work smarter.
Yeah. One of my clients, it took her like 12 to 18 months to save 3 to 6 months of expenses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just,
it's not an overnight thing.
The feeling, yeah, the feeling feels the same when you do it, regardless of how quickly or how slowly it takes. Forget the pace, just make sure you get there so that you have that cushion.
Please, could you tell people what a lifetime ISA is?
A lifetime ISA is for anyone between the ages of 18 to 40 who wants to either use it as a pension in the future or who wants to use it to buy a property. Now, you have, if you want to use it to buy a property, you can put in a maximum of £4,000 a year for up to 3 years, and the government will add 25%, which is £1,000. So let's say for 3 years in a row, you save £4,000. The government will add 1,000. So after 3 years, that's a total of £12,000, and the government have added 3,000 on top for you.
Really great. Moneybox do that, right? Because I've got one, yeah. I think, through Moneybox. And so I would highly recommend that as an app as well, because what's so great about those apps is I get very upset when I'm downloading them and scared. And then when you go in, it's literally designed for people like me who don't understand anything. So it's so clear and helpful, and like, you know what's going on. Moneybox aside, are there any other sort of apps that you found very helpful?
I use Yolt. Yolt is a budgeting app. So you can add all your current accounts. I think, I'm pretty sure you can add your savings accounts as well. Some people, you can add your credit cards, and a few people add their investment accounts. So you can add a range of accounts, and you basically put your budgets, and it shows you a snapshot of what you're spending in a week. It tells you if you're bang on budget or if you have gone over. So what I tend to do is I do start with a spreadsheet, but then I make sure it reflects what I'm budgeting in the Yolt app. And then I look and I'm like, oh, I'm spending too much here, or I'm not spending enough here. One of the areas that I get conscious that I'm not spending enough in is like self-care. For example, I always think that that's really important. I always say, like, your well-being is so important. It can't just be, I'm making money, I'm doing this. You have to look after yourself.
Spreadsheets terrify me. So the idea that you have a spreadsheet for all your things, if someone's listening and wants to kind of like lay out a very simple basic budget sheet, for example,
just say income, so all the income that comes into you, and then fixed expenses and variable expenses, and then you just, you know, deduct from there, and it just helps you think
variable.
What's great is like variable usually is the one that's like, oh, I've got this, I've got that, but it can teach you like, how much do I really need from there? Like back to good old Jeff, but like, I'm sorry, I don't need Amazon Prime all the time. I don't want to say it's a small cost, but it's like, I think it's like $7.99 if you pay a month, or it might have gone up now. The point is, I'm just like, no, like, I don't need it right now. I'll get it another month, but just not now. So like, that's where you get to see your variable expenses really add up.
And also Amazon Prime is such a good example of something that it's like a chicken and egg thing. Once you have it, then you then end up you use it way more than you would have done if you didn't have it. And you just plan a little bit better because you know that you can't get something in 4 hours' time. Basically, you don't need it, but you feel like you really do. And it makes you need it when you have it. So I think it's, there's so many in those sort of variable categories where you go, well, I have to have that.
If you sit down and like force yourself to look through your bank account for the last couple of months, that's the point where you discover, you're like, what's that like $1.99? What's that? And it's the sort of thing that you're like, oh, well, it's $1.99. But then you're like, oh, it comes out every month, and it's for like an app I once bought to learn Welsh. Like, it's like, what's that doing in there? And you don't look if you just keep putting your head in the sand and being like, I don't know, money, you know, until you sit down and you're like, okay, where's it actually going? And also then it means you have to do a lot of self-reflection of like, why am I spending so much money on burritos? Let's look at the underlying burrito problem. And you're like, I don't want to look what's underneath the burrito. Thank you. I don't want to know.
We've mentioned a little bit about, the word investment has come up a few times. Mm. So I decided to get a pension when I turned 30, and invest. And that's how I talk about it, invest, because I just don't, yeah. And when I told my sister about it, she was just like, I'm sorry, what? You're playing the stock market? What? Who are you? And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But I've got a nice woman friend who does it for me.
Is it a SIP, a self-invested personal pension?
Yes. And sip. So it's my first very, time learning very about a new, sip. Having a lovely sip of my water and my money. And that I got one and I'm stressed about it because I don't really understand it in a way. But what advice would you have for somebody who would maybe want to, firstly, why should somebody invest in something in the stock market?
People should invest in general because savings can only take you so far.
Right.
I mean, you know, we spoke earlier about how low the interest rates are right now. And with, I'd say the reason, that's a huge reason as well. And your money can go further over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. So with investing, you know, you have something called compound interest, which is interest on interest. So if you invest and your portfolio makes a return of 10% a year and you start with £100, that then becomes £110, and then that's 100, and then £110 and 10% of that, and it keeps going up. Mm-hmm. And saving just isn't going to do that for you. So you want to look at the long term, especially if you're self-employed. I must say, it's so important to create future wealth for yourself through a self-invested personal pension.
Yes, and it's frightening because with the investment stuff, you kind of go, oh, well, I won't be able to touch it for 70 years. Well, that's not necessarily that's just certain types of investment. And like, there are so many different types. What would your advice be for somebody who is like, okay, well, that sounds good, and then literally has no idea? I'm obviously Googling, but would you go to your bank and talk? Is that a place where you would talk to?
I would suggest people speaking to a financial advisor.
Right.
They can do free initial consultations about where to start with that. I would definitely say go to them, because I legally can't give advice on that, but
understood. Would they take an upfront fee, or do they take a cut of the amount that they make you, or like, what is the thing with a financial advisor?
It varies. So okay. Sometimes it can be a mix. It can be they take a fee, usually it's a monthly fee, and then maybe like a percentage of what they make you, but that's not always the case.
I was very surprised, because I was on a roll and was like, I'm going to get in touch with a financial advisor, and did like a Facebook say, just being like, oh, financial advisors, and then got a friend who used to work somewhere, put me in touch with this lovely woman. What I'm saying is very important to lean in and not feel like it's too frightening, because when I spoke to her, she just takes a percentage, but all of her clients are like millionaires, and so she wants to get people on who aren't at all. Sometimes people will, you know, you kind of be like, well, why? I don't have enough money to kind of justify having a financial advisor and them taking a percentage, because it's about 2p for them. But because she has huge clients, she likes to help people that don't. And so what I'm saying is that don't automatically think you have to be some sort of banker on like 500 grand a year in order to necessitate you investing. Like, you can invest as much or as little as you want. And also, it's so nice because she's this lovely woman. She just explains everything to me like really clearly. And she has to explain to me every time I speak to her, like, again, what is we're doing, like every single time. It's something that feels like it's very too grown up. And well, you've got to be at least 50 to do that. It's like, no, actually, the whole point is that you do it as early as possible so that then you can accrue as much as possible.
Yeah, because the earliest you can access that money is actually 55.
Right. So then you wouldn't have saved enough, really, would you, in 5 years?
Exactly.
Exactly. And again, it's because you're like, I can't think about being 55. I'm going to the pub.
I always say, when it comes to investing in general, everyone needs to realize what their risk appetite is. So for example, all three of us could say, right, we have different risk levels. So I could say, yeah, I'm going to put £1,000 in a crypto that's unregulated. And you both could say, yeah, I'm going to do the same because I'm going to follow you. However, you don't know that maybe I've got £100,000 in safe stocks and maybe you've only got $10,000. So you have to kind of look at what you're willing to put in and also what you're willing to lose.
That's it, isn't it? Like, you can only really play, like, for example, when the people on Reddit bought that GameStop thing, fun, I want to play. And then they were like, we're bringing everyone down from the inside. And then they said, you've got to buy BB, they were saying everywhere on all the stock platforms. But nobody knew what that meant. So therefore, people were buying a Blockbuster, BlackBerry and Bed Bath & Beyond. So nobody knew what they were doing. But I remember...
They have to make a movie about this.
Yeah, it's just...
Surely they will.
Well, because it felt very like, here were just some kids on Reddit just literally unregulatedly playing the stock market in a way that that is what Wall Street does professionally. But because now the Reddit kids were doing it, they were like, shut it down, shut it down. And I was like, I come in to help. And then I was like, I put £50 into GameStop, which my risk.
It's GameStop, just so you know.
Shit.
So you invested in the wrong thing.
I didn't know what I was doing. I invested in GameStop, got my little eToro app, off I went. And that, what you're saying about risk appetite, like that was my risk appetite. Like £50 was how much I was prepared to be like, if this doesn't work, I had a £50 of fun learning about this, and I understand that it didn't work, and I hope I don't lose all of it, but £50 is my level of risk. And you won't believe this, it doubled. I doubled my money. I mean, I didn't really understand how to get it out, and I paid a bit too much. So that's
where it gets a bit sticky.
That's where it got sticky. It turned out eToro took most of it. It's all a bit tricky. However, I was like, holy shit, I've made £50 on this. But then I was like, but the only way you can truly make like millions on the stock market is to be gambling millions. Like your risk appetite has to be so massive. Otherwise, it just should be like play a low risk game, put it into low risk. It's just like trucks along nice and gently,
a little bit
every year, making you a bit of money. But we ain't ever going to be hitting those like we're making millions.
Well, you hope over a long period of time. That's why I suppose it's like over your whole life, say, when you're saving, then that actually does accumulate in a meaningful way rather than being like, get rich quick. Me investing aged 50.
Yeah.
quick. Not got more time.
Crunch against time.
Yeah. I retire next year. What if I get a lifetime life for now?
I shall never retire.
You've mentioned having clients a few times. And so is that something, are you a financial advisor? Is that something that people can come to you as?
No. I'm not. Do you know, so just to explain, a financial advisor is someone who can legally give you advice on your like investments, for example. So I don't do that. I'm just a finance coach.
A finance coach.
So it's literally personal finances, whereas... Mm-hmm. Financial advising is more on a different scale. They can help you with your personal finances as well, but a lot of them tend to start with, okay, for example, your self-invested personal pension, as we spoke about, or other types of investments.
Amazing.
Go and buy the book for more stuff.
And more confidence. That, and more like,
yeah.
And that you can't be just like, you've got to be like, okay, here we go. Come on, I'm going in. I'm being brave.
Literally,
I'm looking
life.
This head on. This is your life. Yeah.
Literally. This is your life.
This is your life. And there's a better one waiting for
you. You can't cower away. Yeah. And you know, all you have to do is tell yourself about all the things that you've overcome in the past. And I've started to do that. I'm like, remember when you were like 18 and super organized and you lived away from home to university, like, and you know, you lived out of campus and you had your bills sorted. I'm like, remember, you can do that. And I tell myself, you know, when you get a mortgage, you're going to do the same. And it's just like those mini pep talks. You have to tell yourself about a time when you were, you know, you were hitting up your finances in the best way and it was working for you. Mm. And go back to that time and remind yourself how capable you are.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Really, I feel like you've really changed Tessa's life. I can see that in her eyes.
I feel richer.
And I feel incredibly... I've got some of those things, but I haven't really been leaning into them because I'm still too frightened to like fully commit to any of it, but I'm going to commit. And thank you so much. And we'll see you all listening next week.
I hope we're all 1 week richer and 1 week more better with our finances.
See
we're
you
getting
in
better
Mars.
With our finances. Yeah, see you in 50 years when everyone's better with their finances. No, see you next week, guys. We're going to do this. Take yourself on a date and look through your thing, get that Excel spreadsheet going. 50, 30, 20.
Needs, wants, savings.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.